Hey, what's up? Hello, Groove Sense Familia. How we doing today? If you don't already know what the movement is about, it's about normalizing grief sense. What does that mean? That means normalizing conversations around death. And we do that through holding space to talk about loss, confronting our mortality. And we also do this through the lens of social justice, creative expression, community care, as well as pop culture. So as you interact with these episodes, please reflect on how grief sense shows up in your life. And if you have a story that you'd like to share with us, please feel free to reach out. You can reach us at info@griefsense.com via email. Now with that, hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Welcome back, listeners of Grief Sense. I'm your host, Mimi Gonzalez, and today I have the pleasure of having Lizelle de la Cruz as a guest on the show today. I found Lizelle actually quite recently on Instagram, and for those of you that know how to operate Instagram and all the algorithms, I follow different hashtags, and one of the hashtags I follow is grief journey. There's grief and loss, grief gram, all of the different hashtags surrounding grief on Instagram. And I'm so thankful that I did, because I would not have found Lizelle otherwise. And I saw that she shared her story about a recent loss that she experienced, and I just had to reach out, if not for the show, just to be in community and to find a new friend, because that's how important it is in the world of grief and in the grieving community. You got to find your people. And I found another person, another grief sibling. And so without further ado, I would love to invite Lizelle to introduce herself.
Hi, Mimi. Thank you for having me. And thank you for finding me. I was very honored that you found me and asked me to be on your show. So yes, my name is Lizelle. I'm 34 years old, born and raised in San Francisco. I am of Filipino descent. My parents immigrated from the Philippines and I was born here. So that makes me Filipino American. I went to school in San Francisco, kind of never really left because SF is home. So I'm a proud Gator. I went to SF State and I graduated with my undergrad of broadcast journalism with a concentration in sports media. And I worked in sports for a couple years, which was one of my passions. But then I pivoted a couple years ago and I went to get my master's in industrial organizational psychology. I recently graduated in April of this year.
It's a graduate.
Yes. Recent graduate. So just starting fresh with everything.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for being here and thank you for sharing. And y'all, when Lizelle and I met, we actually bonded over all of the things. And I was like, what? You got your master's in IO? I have my master's in IO. So we have a lot of overlap in our journeys. And it was just meant to be. Like, it was just meant to be. And actually, quick story. I went to a conference in LA a few weeks ago called ZCon. And there were quite a few folks from San Francisco. And, you know, I'm from Connecticut. I'm from the East Coast. So I have never heard SF as like an acronym. And like people were throwing it around like as if it's like a normal thing for me to know. And I'm like, I'm just going to follow along with this conversation and just act like I know what they're saying. They're like, yeah, that's an SF. And that's an SF. And I'm like, I'm sorry, hold up. I've been trying to follow along with what you're saying, but what the hell is SF? And they're like, San Francisco. Like, got you. So I kind of felt a little dumb, but it's fine. Now I know what SF is. So
especially down in SoCal, we will rep SF hard. There's always a rivalry, especially in sports. Sorry, Dodger fans, but I cannot. I'm a Giants fan through and through, and the Warriors and the Niners. So
see, I love it. So for all of you out there who did not know what SF is, that is what that is.
It's home of the best teams in professional sports.
I'm neutral over here. I am not I'm not part of this. But anyway, yes, I'm just so grateful that you're here and that we're connected for life. We stuck together. At the beginning of every Grief Sense episode, we start with who we are honoring. And I like to give my guests an opportunity to, you know, just hold space to honor who has died in their life. And then, yeah, and then we'll kind of jump into our conversation today.
So today, in this episode, I'm honoring my father. He passed away earlier this year in January, unexpectedly. We we actually, as a whole family, we all went to the Philippines to celebrate. Like, he wanted to go back home to the Philippines to celebrate his 75th birthday. It was 2 years that he couldn't go back to the Philippines because of, you know, with the coronavirus and the pandemic, and, you know, just so hard to go back to the Philippines, and just the difficulties in traveling and all the travel restrictions. So this, like, last year in December, he, like, was adamant about, like, I don't want a big party. I just want to go back to the Philippines. So we did. And, you know, we had a great little celebration for his birthday and Christmas, and even went on, like, our last little family vacation, like, island hopping. And then he grew a little sick, but we just thought, like, you know, oh, it's just asthma, because, you know, the Philippine air quality is very different from San Francisco, obviously. San Francisco is very clean, fresh air, and the Philippines is a little more polluted, I would say, and just it's hot. So we just thought maybe that was the cause of it. But we were scheduled to go home 2 days before his unexpected passing. So, yeah, we were close to going home. We were almost here, but I guess he just wanted to stay in the Philippines.
Wow. So. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I have to say, I'm just absolutely, every time you hear someone's grief story, or every time I hear someone's grief story, rather, I'm just humbled by it. Because no matter what we go through in life, you always hear, like, someone else's experience, and it's like, damn, you know? And it just makes you feel like other people are experiencing similar things and we aren't alone. But with that, I can't even imagine the experience that you endured. You know, as his daughter, but also your family, and you literally went for vacation for fun times and, you know, kind of came home, I'm sure, with a whole new perspective on life, you know? And so would you be willing to talk a little bit more about that? Like, how has your experience been, like, during that moment, which obviously I know is a loaded question. But for those who, like, listen, y'all, everyone who's listening to this right now, this could very much be a reality that we all can potentially face. We go on vacation, or we go on a trip with our families, and something tragic can happen, and we're totally not expecting that to ever happen. And so I just think I've never really heard of stories like this that often, you know? So I'm just kind of curious to see how your mind was, you know, during that time. And then, of course, that transition to even now.
Yeah. So, I remember that night that it happened. It's still, like, it replays in my head a lot when I just think about it. I remember my mom, like, pounding on my door. She's like, Lizelle, wake up. Like, I can't, you know, I'm trying to wake up your dad. He's not waking up. And so like, I'm like, what in the world? Like, I run. So my room in our Philippines vacation house was like, I'm upstairs, my parents are downstairs. So I run down the stairs and I'm like shaking my dad, like, wake up, like, hey, like, he was still breathing. And I was like, wake up, Papa, you know, let's wake up. Like, you know, you're just having a bad nightmare. Like, that's a thing in the Philippines that they said, like it's called bungungot, which is like basically a bad nightmare. And so I was like, no, you're just having a bad nightmare. Like, let's go, like, you know, wake up. Like, I know. And he shook his, feel like he shook a little bit. So I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, oh, Mom, he's about to wake up. Like, we got him. Like, we got him back. Like, I don't know, maybe he's just like in really deep sleep. But my mom's like, no, let's go take him to the hospital. So again, in the Philippines, it's different than here in America. Like, you can't just call an ambulance and they'll be there right away. Like, that was the craziest experience, I think, of everything, was just like realizing how it's happening and unfolding. And I'm like we, pure adrenaline, me, my family members, luckily, like, we're surrounded by a lot of family in the Philippines. We all just rushed, carried my dad off bed and rushed into the hospital. Me, little tiny me, like, carrying my dad. And and I just remember, I was like, this can't, like, when the doctor said, like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. And I was just like screaming. I was like, no, there's no way. Like, try again. It just felt like a nightmare. Like, you know, just even rethinking about that whole night. And I remember having to make a call. My mom's like, call your brother, because my brother and his family are already back in San Francisco. And she's like, call your brother. And I go, oh my God. Like, I didn't even know what to say.
Like, how are you supposed to?
Yeah. Like, I just called and I just said, Kuya, which is older brother in Filipino language. I was like, and he just knew, like, his heart. I could feel like his heart probably just dropped when we, like, called him, because he was like, it's like 1 o'clock. Like, he was doing the math. He's like, it's 1 o'clock in the Philippines. Like, what's going on? And then, yeah. So, yeah. And just the whole time, everything was just, I just felt like I was floating. Like, I didn't really, is this really real? Is this really happening? Is this my dad in the casket? Like, I kept saying, like, we're supposed to go home in 2 days. We're supposed to go home in 2 days. Like, you know, until like the day of the funeral was like, really, like, that's when it hit me. And then again, of course, coming back to America, I guess to answer back to your question, was like, coming back to America was like, he's not here. We went back to my parents' house and I dropped off my mom and I was like, and I went to his room and it was just, he's really not here. Like, it was just so weird. Like, I was just like, it's weird. And then like the whole, yeah, like the whole couple of months, I was already starting my last term of grad school. It was just really hard and to focus, because again, you know, as they say, like, grief isn't linear, right? Like, there are days like, you're okay, you're gonna be okay. Like, you don't think about it because you're like preoccupied of like, with me, it was luckily I had school. But then those moments of like, when I go to visit my mom at her house, like, he's not there. Like, and it just hits you over and over again. And even sometimes I just think he's still in the Philippines. And then, you know, the reality sets in, it's like, I can't talk to him anymore. Like, even if he was in the Philippines, like, you're so, he's like, you can still call him and text him, but like, no, you can't. So that was really hard. And I think the hardest thing that I've dealt with was just because I'm daddy's girl. I'm the only daughter and the youngest of that too. So totally daddy's girl. So a lot of it is like, my inner child was very like wounded. And it's like, I was so lost. Because I was so used to like, oh, like, you know, having both your parents there, like, you have that shield, right? My therapist would always say, when you lose a parent, it's like the shield is gone and you're just trying to get that shield back, but it's not there anymore. And so like, that was like the hardest thing that I had to navigate going forward since, because it's like, I'm trying to be strong for everybody in my family and be strong for myself, but it's harder when that shield is gone. Like, you're so used to like
the protector, you know,
the protector. Like, my dad was definitely protector and provider, especially for me, because again, like, daddy's girl. So it was like, it's just like, I felt like every time I like walk, it just still feels empty. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like empty. So.
I mean, I totally just, I'm just grateful for you sharing your story. And I remember when we first met, I had shared with you that every time I reach out to a potential guest for the show, and one, they read it, and two, they accept the request to be a guest on the show, I cry, because it's like, wow, we are bonded by something so tragic and painful, but somehow we're able to find some type of connection and exploration of what this all means. Because let's be honest, it don't make no sense and it will never make sense. So the fact that you were willing to read my message, accept the request, and now we're here, you sharing your story for several people to hear, I just really admire you. I admire your bravery. I admire your courage, because this is not easy and there's no right way to process this. There's no right way to share this. This is pretty recent for you. This happened the beginning of this year. So I'm extra grateful to you for sharing your story with us, and for also being willing to be in community and be open to getting support from potential grievers out there. You know, through this episode, definitely my wish, and I've already started to see community just naturally starting to build from this podcast that we all have put together. And so, yeah, I just wanted to hold space to thank you for that and also for sharing the details. And I think that it's also important, right? Because you have, like, I don't know how to really label it, but these like usual grief interactions where after someone learns that you experienced a loss or someone has died in your family, everyone's default is like, how are you? Like, how you think I am?
Yeah.
Like, what do you want me, what do you want me to tell you? And so when you feel safe enough to share details of what happened, I really think that those moments right there is what helps people kind of get closer together, because folks that might experience something similar or something entirely different, but lose someone and they don't know how to handle that situation, but they heard someone else's story. I mean, I just think it's really, it's a really beautiful thing that, that you're doing. And so I thank you. And with that, well, what are some things that you've been trying to implement in your daily life? I know you talked about how you kind of jumped right into to work with school and you had something to kind of occupy your mind, to distract you a bit. But I definitely understand the whole aspect about triggers, right? Like when you go home, it's like that constant reminder, or literally when you reach for your phone every time, your default would be to call, you know, your person. And so I totally relate to that. I totally understand that. So how have you been finding ways, healthy or otherwise, doesn't matter, right? Because we all, like I said, no right way to grief, especially when it's so fresh. But yeah, just think about that a little bit. What are your thoughts on that? Any ways you've been trying to occupy your mind recently?
So I've always been a fan, like, I always do self-care, like even before this, you know, grieving journey that I'm on, I've always implemented self-care just from previous traumas. So my safe space is going to work out. So I go to a workout studio called Barry's, and just the community, they've been really supportive. A lot of them obviously are like, we're friends with on social media, so they know what happened, but they don't, you know, I love it because they don't really say anything. It's just, you know, their actions, and they know like they support you and motivate you, and you know, you're accepted. And but even then, like just going in there for a 50-minute workout, like it clears my mind. Like I don't have to think about anything, but just be in the moment, be in, you know, in that space and just work out, like just focus on me. And that's been really helpful because, again, as you know, with grief comes like depression and anxiety, and it's hard to get out of bed sometimes, right? Like all you want to do is just, like, lay in bed and be like, this isn't real. Like, no, like this didn't happen. Like, you know, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to go to my mom's house or my parents' house, and he's going to be there, you know, like he's going to be there.
Yeah.
But so, you know, working out was helpful to get me out of bed to like, okay, if I can do this one step at a time, all right, you already got out of bed, you know, put on your workout clothes, you know, eat your breakfast, hydrate, and then go work out. And it's just doing that consistently helped me. And again, just obviously, you know, with exercise comes with dopamine and all those neurotransmitters. That was helpful. So a lot of, yeah, like putting myself in first, like nourishing my body too after that, just making sure my body feels healthy. I know my mind will follow. So that's what I've always been an advocate for, actually. Like I'm always like, you know, just get a move, like move your body, even if it's stretching for 5 minutes or walking out to get some fresh air, like going on the block. Like I've always been an advocate for that. And, you know,
I love
when
that.
I started my grief journey. Yeah. Like it's definitely been helpful because it helps me just, I guess, even just getting air in your body, like just all that, like, you know, breath work is so important.
You just literally, as you're saying that, I was like, let me take a deep breath.
Yeah. Cause your breath, like it really, you know, your breath is healing. Like, you know, if you notice if you're stressed, like, even if, you know, you're not going through grief, but just like you're stressed for a test, right? Like,
right.
Or an interview or anything for your job. Like you just notice if you take deep breaths, you'll calm down and you'll just feel better. And just like, okay, everything's clearer. And, you know, you're just like strong. I personally think you get stronger just by breath work. So
that's
a lot of that. I incorporated a lot of that. And I also do a lot of journaling. So just writing out my feelings, no matter how messy or how crazy or irrational and delusional they are, just putting it out there and then making, like, you know, sense of it as you read it or you write, you just get mental clarity. So those two things definitely helped me.
Wow. And I just have to say, wow, you're so fresh into your grief journey, and you already have so many healthy habits that took me forever to learn and to implement. But I think it's so beautiful that you're sharing that with people, because I think that a lot of us have different type of, defaults on how we deal with certain things or certain like challenges in our life, right? And there are real world toxic, if you will, or just really harmful behaviors that we can be indulging in, like, drug abuse, substance abuse, being really self-destructive and self-negligent. Like, that is a very big proponent, I think, of grief. There is going to be some type of self-negligence in some way, shape, or form, but the whole point is not to stay there and to find ways to cope, yes, but also to find healing, right? I definitely don't believe that we're ever going to be fully healed from the grief, but I do feel that we will experience things that can bring us healing right throughout our journey. And like you said, grief is not linear, right? Like, you can go through all of those stages. I think there's stages that are not even invented yet that we experience, and it's like they can happen all at once, or like it's a whole lot. But it's interesting. So the other day I saw a quote, and I hold it really quick. I wrote it down on a sticky note. I write it on everything, And it said, "Grief is love with no place to go." And I really thought deeply about that, because for me, I don't want it to stay like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want it to feel that my love or my grief for X amount of people that I've lost in my life, I don't want it to feel like I don't, that there's no love. Like, not that there's no love, but this love has nowhere to go. And so I've been doing some thought exploration around grief homes. And is there a place, like, a grief home that we can kind of store or channel said grief or this love with no place to go, and just give it a home that we can revisit every now and again, that we take care of, right? It's kind of like a garden or things that we tend to. And I love that you mentioned you nourishing your body through movement, through food, through journaling, your mind, through breath work. And so it just kind of stood out to me that that would be a grief home of sorts. But do you have any thoughts on that or any reactions to that?
I love the quote, first and foremost. Like, I think that's so true, because actually, when you first said that quote, remind me again, it's grief
Grief is love with
is
no place to
love,
go.
no place to go. Part of me, it's funny, because you know how, like, when you're so new to grief, it kind of becomes your personality. And I'm trying to, like, I don't want to be like, oh, like, her personality is only just about her grief, but it is reality. But part of me, I feel like I hold on to my grief, even if it's, or even if not, I'm not full, again, like, it's not fully healed, but like it gets less heavy to carry. But I feel like I always kind of pull it back in sometimes, because I think, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I'm sorry if I'm pulling a tangent, but I'm just curious, like,
No,
your
it's
thoughts
good.
too. I don't mean to think.
No, this is good. This is great. Yeah, this is all about.
So my dad passed away in January. I always think about it's like, in a couple months, it's going to be 1 year, right? And I feel like I'm holding on to the grief, just because I feel like the more I hold on to it, the like that he's still here, right? Because I'm scared that like 1 year is going to pass, 2 years going to pass, 3 years going to pass, and it's like the further and further away he is from me, if that makes sense. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the further he is, like, I don't think I'll ever forget my dad. I don't think anybody, like, I've had
Absolutely.
my grandpa passed away in 2015, and there's no day that I don't think about him either. So,
Absolutely.
but I think I like holding on to that grief, because you said you're right. It is love, right? And I think I tend to hold on to that grief just because I don't want to let go of my dad. Like, that idea that, oh my God, he's gone. Like, it's gonna be a year. It's gonna be 2 years. It's like, no. Like, I feel like if I keep holding on to it, like, closer he is here. Like, so I don't. I think that's my. Yeah, like, I think my interpretation of that, and it kind of makes sense too.
And Miha, I feel that so deeply. So my father this year will be, I'm turning 28 this year. So it'll be 27 years with my father not here. So I was 8 months old when my father passed away. So I didn't really get a chance to grow up with him. And for the longest time, like when I was in my teen years, I mean, I definitely still feel like this now, but not as heavy. But when I was growing up, I just had this anger, this intense anger that, and honestly, jealousy and envy that people knew my father and I didn't get that chance. It just felt like it was robbed of me. It just felt like my innocence, for other reasons as well, as we know, as women of color in America, but but it just felt like my innocence was kind of taken away from me at a really young age, and never, like, that experience was robbed from me. And with that, I held on to my father. I still hold on to my father very close. Like, he is the epitome of everything in my life. Like, I truly feel that any decision that I've made in my life, any decision that I've made boils back down to my relationship with my father. And for me, I don't necessarily think it's like holding on to the grief. It's just like our fathers are part of us, right? We are a living manifestation of our father's legacy. And for me, it's like, as I got older, I learned that it's okay to be angry. It's okay to have moments where you're really sad. It's okay to feel that strong connection. But no matter how much time passes, you'll never lose that strong connection with them. At least that's my experience or my interpretation. And I don't ever want to lose that connection. And so that's why I think talking about how we're talking about it and just like having spaces or podcasts like this, or you mentioned like the anniversary would be coming up soon, right? Those moments are really tough. They're really hard, right? But it's also an opportunity for the world to know the amazing man that your father is, right? I don't like saying was, because he's still here. His legacy's still here. And I just find something that I would recommend to, you know, you and your family is just to find traditions that would be new to you, to find new ways to honor him. If he's not here in the physical form, he's still here in a spiritual form. He's still here in everything that you do. So try to build new traditions around that. And I think you'll naturally find that, right, as holidays approach and things like that, things look a little different and kind of just have to figure out how to make sense of it. A recent tradition that I actually found on TikTok last year during the holidays was, it said, write a letter to someone who has died in your life. And I decided to write a letter to my father. And girl, that was the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life. Like, that was so hard because, like, I talk to him every 5 seconds. Like, literally, I'm like, daddy, it's going to be a, like, I don't know how this day is going to go, or like anything that I'm dealing with, any major decision in my life. Like, I talk to my father all day long, you know? Yeah. But it's like, I don't know. I never formally wrote a letter to him, and like, it kind of just made it even more real. So yeah, I don't know. I would just kind of just think about different ways to honor him and include the family in it and the community. Like that's a really, really, really beautiful way to kind of deal with that.
So going back to what you said of like honoring, like this year, obviously, because it happened in the beginning, so many firsts, right? Like the first birthday in our family, like without him, my master's graduation without him, my first birthday without him. I do, like, our family, we do things in his honor. Like, his favorite restaurant was Benihana. So my brother, on his birthday, since he was the first one to have a birthday in our family, we had dinner at Benihana, you know, because that's his favorite restaurant. Yeah, just the little things like, oh, we'll eat at this restaurant because, you know, that's the last time we ate here as a family. Like, just those. Yeah. So,
yeah,
little ways. It. So my dad's love language is food, because so every food, like, I remember the first Father's Day, I told Mom, like, let's just get his favorite, like, dishes and we'll just eat that. And so, like, yeah. So through food, we honor our dad. So but I love the letter idea. But, and again, yeah. I feel like I talk to my dad all the time, like, especially when I'm angry, I'm like, ah, help me. Give me patience. I know you're close to the Lord. Go tell him to give me some patience.
Literally, like, you know, and it's actually so funny. Well, it's like, well, it's funny. We can relate to it, but other people might not think it's funny, but I think it's funny that, I don't know. I feel like, you know how you have friends that can help you with different things, like advice on different life things, whether it's like relationships, mm-hmm. career, whatever, grief even, right? So I feel that since I've lost many people by now, I have, they're like, I consider them like my spiritual guides on whatever thing I'm dealing with. So I'm like, I'm going to console my dad is like my go-to for everything, but I talk to my best friend, Megan. I talk to my grandpa. I talk to like different people that I've lost. I'm like, okay, I'm dealing with this. Can you come and just help, you know? And I don't know, people might think I'm DeLulu or just losing everything. But hey, this is literally what goes on in the mind of this griever over here. So makes me feel like I'm not crazy.
No, I believe that. I mean, I definitely think there are angels now. Like, again, like funny, you said, like my grandpa, I talk to my dad now, my aunt for like every boy problem I've had. I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, like help me find my husband. I talk to my aunt. I'm like, you and I are so alike. I know my mom tells me stories. So like, let's go, like help me. So no, I mean, it just makes sense. And I don't know about you. Like I get signs. Do you get signs? Like my dad.
Let's talk about that. What are some signs you've seen?
So actually coming back to the day I came back from the Philippines, or, you know, after all is said and done, I obviously haven't been in my home for like, it was like 7 weeks because we had to extend obviously with what happened. And of course, like, so my house is empty. Like I don't have any candles, no flowers, nothing, right? Like it should just be like a neutral scent because I haven't been home and I live alone. So obviously like nobody's been walking around. I walk in my door and I smell flowers. And in the Filipino superstition, that means like a ghost or a spirit is visiting you. And I go, Papa, because that's what we call my dad. Like, Papa, I'm like, hi. And I like just start crying because I'm like, oh, my God. Like, because I had just come back from dropping off my, like, we just came from the airport. So I like made sure my mom was okay at their house. And I didn't smell anything, right? Like no flowers, nothing, neutral smell again, because nobody's been there, right? Right. Literally walk in my door and I'm straight up like it just smelled like you just walked into a flower shop, like seriously so strong. And it was almost like I burst into tears. I was like, you're here, like you're here, you made sure I was home safe. I don't know, or just that was
what a gift. Like,
I was just so shocked, like, and it lingered. It didn't go away like, you know, like 5 minutes or whatever. Like it lingered for at least a good hour, or until I probably like got myself to like stop crying and you know. So
that's beautiful.
That was a crazy sign for my dad. And sometimes I do notice when I like start crying, I'll like, and I live in San Francisco again, super foggy all the time, like we get barely get the sun. And all of a sudden the sun will just start shining like a little peek in the cloud, and I think that's my dad, because it's always when I'm like missing him. So
My goodness, thank you so much for sharing that. And I think this is an aspect of grief that I find pockets of content, you know, on social media, or I don't know if you've watched the docuseries on Netflix called Surviving Death. There's that one. And then there's the Tyler Henry show. He's a medium. And I just love shows like that because it makes me feel that I'm connecting with my spiritual army out there. And just like hearing different experiences, like what signs should I look out for? You know, like I think this is really good that we're talking about it. But I think that's so beautiful that you got a chance to experience that. I really think it's a gift when the spirit tries to connect with us and like shows us signs. And there are people in my life that are definitely very closed off to that. They don't want to see it. They don't want to hear anything about that. You know, like they're just completely closed off to that. And I think that's okay, right? Like everyone deals with grief differently. For me, I'm open to all the signs. I'm open to all of the connections, like, you know, because to be able to have that type of perception and intuition to be able to pick up on those, I truly think that is a beautiful gift that not everyone has access to. Actually, let me take that back. I do think that everyone would have access to it if they allowed themselves to, because I definitely think if you've experienced loss, I truly believe that you unlock, like if this is like a video game, like, right, I feel that you unlock a new level, or like you are entering a new level of consciousness. I truly, fully believe that. And some signs that I've experienced, and I'll focus on my father. So, and I've talked about this, I think, on a previous episode, but the song that I have for my father is I'll Be Missing You by P. Diddy and Faith Evans. And that's been my song. Like, my mom and I would blast this song when I was a kid, and like she would always listen to it. So of course, naturally it became like, like that's my song for my daddy. I also have another song for him. My mom said that the song was played at his funeral, and it's a reggaeton song called Amigo by Rakimi Kenway. So I listen to that as well. But anytime those songs come on, I'm like, all right, daddy, what's the message coming through today? Yeah. What am I looking for today? You know, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that's like number one. But number two, I've never shared this story like publicly ever. And I think even only a couple friends even know this story. But last year, I decided to visit a medium for the first time. And I was always kind of skeptical, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
whatever. I'm always in tune to spirit and things like that. But I don't know. You don't know who's doing it for real or who's just trying to like take your money. That at least that's what they say. But I do genuinely feel that people have this gift. And if they are kind enough to share that gift with you, I just think it's a beautiful experience if it is real and natural and whatever. So long story short, I decided to go to a medium because I just kept getting all these different signs and I didn't know what the hell to make of it. But I was so grateful that I was experiencing all of it. I was like, wow, this hasn't happened in forever. Let me just like go all in and see what's happening. Yeah. But I think it's because I was going through, similar to you, just like a big like transition in my life. I now have to learn how to navigate, right, life post loss. But at the time, I was also contemplating leaving my corporate job, which is a huge undertaking of a decision because of the role that I was in. It was a really high-level role. And I kept hearing, like, from different, like, on social media, on conversations with friends, podcasts that I would listen to, I would just hear this saying, take your power back, take your power back. Like, I just kept hearing that mantra over and over and over again. Girl, I wrote it on everything. It was on the screensaver of my phone, my sticky notes,
yes,
everything. Take your power back.
Yes.
Please tell me why. I go to this medium, okay? Immediately, she's like, ooh. She's like, do you have a lot of people who have crossed over? And I was like, yeah. And I already started getting emotional because I was like, she's like, you got a lot of energy on the other side. Like they, you know, they're coming through for you. I was like, oh boy, I don't know what's going to happen now. I'm getting emotional thinking about it, but, she said, I'm getting a really strong male energy and it's like a paternal energy and I'm getting accident. And at this point she's like writing really fast on her notebook and I'm like, I don't know what to think, what to feel. Cause I also don't want to give confirmation on everything. I want to see how much she knows or how far she can go. So she's like, accident, car accident, motorcycle accident. And that's exactly how my father died. And I started bawling, She goes, this is your father, isn't it? And I was like, yes. And so she goes, he says, take your power back. Girl.
Dad's no best. Yes.
I lost everything. Wow. I lost everything. Wow. And like shortly after that, she was like, she thought that I was like the youngest, or I was like the baby of the family. I'm actually the oldest or second oldest daughter rather, but I'm my father's only child because it was me and my mom and him. And my mom had kids with another, my dad that raised me. But with that, she kept getting an image of like a newborn baby, and I was like, well, that makes sense because I was 8 months old when he died. And she said that he said, my little girl, thank you for never forgetting me. And I never had such a clear sign or like message like that from my dad. And that was when I was 26. So I was like, what? So that reading definitely changed my life and definitely affirmed me to appreciate mediumship and just kind of explore that and what that looks like. And yeah, just to keep looking out for signs. So
no, that's beautiful. And especially because like you said, you were only 8 months when he passed, and the fact that you still honor your dad to this day, it's amazing. And I'm sure he's so proud of you.
Thank you.
With that message, it's all like hearing that story, like that's my take, is like he's so proud of everything that you've done. So
thank you. Yeah, girl. Like literally right after that meeting, that reading that I had.
Yeah.
A couple weeks later, I put my resignation in to my job. I'm like, okay, daddy, I hear you loud and clear. Take my power back. Got you. I'm going to understand the assignment.
I love that. Yeah. So. Sometimes, again, it's like, it's earlier when I said like that shield, right? Because it's gone. Yeah. You're so used to, I mean, as a kid, you're so used to running mom to mommy and daddy. And I love that even though, you know, you had lost your dad at such a young age, you're still able to run to him in the spiritual sense. And it's beautiful. And it's, you're right. We shouldn't ignore them. It's part of our intuition. And again, how they're always connected to us, no matter what, no matter how long ago they've passed or wherever they are, like, it's just your intuition. And that's part of them.
Absolutely. And something I'd like to share with you. So my uncle, so for my 27th birthday, I did a Dia de los Muertos birthday. Ooh. And it wasn't like your traditional like theme with all of the like performative and like cultural appropriation stuff. Like I actually love and appreciate the culture and try to do this every year. But I build an ofrenda. I put all of my pictures of people who have died and honor them. And so I invited people, like literally this was my birthday party. They're like, Mimi, this is so morbid. I was like, well, hey. And so I invited people to kind of share their stories with their loved ones and just say their names, honor them, right? Mm-hmm. And so my uncle came up and he talked for a little bit. And he shared that. So he actually experienced the loss of his daughter, who was 6 months old, as well as his niece and as well as his mom. So definitely a grief veteran, if you will. And he talked about how, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this as well, but he talked about even after our loved one dies, that we can still create new memories with them. And so I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that because that shook me. I was shook when I was like, I never thought of it that way, honestly. So just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that.
No, now I'm shook too, because you're right. Like, no, I mean, again, going back to, you know, like when my dad died, I have all these, not anger, but like almost anger, but like, just like, oh man, he's not going to see me graduate with my master's. Like he's actually the reason why I went to get a master's. He was like, you should get one. So I got one. But among that is just, he's never going to walk me down the aisle, you know, like every little girl's dream. Yeah. Every girl's dream is to have their dad walk them down the aisle, or every girl thinks about their wedding day. And obviously a big chunk of that is your dad walking you down the aisle.
Yeah.
You know, I was mad. Like that was the first thing I said. I was like, I was robbed of that experience, you know? Like I remember, you know, picking out his outfit for his, you know, the coffin, you have to pick a nice outfit. And in the Philippines, you wear a barong Tagalog, which is, it's our traditional, like what men usually wear for like formal wear. So I went to the mall to pick it up and I go, this is so unfair. Like I'm supposed to pick one out for my wedding day, not your funeral. Like I was talking to him in the mall. I was like mad at him. And I was like, you left me. Like, how dare you? You're supposed to wear this on my wedding day, not me picking it out for your funeral. But anyway, when you said like you can still make memories with them even if they pass, it's like, you know, I am shook. Like that is a good perspective to think. You know, at first I was very shunned and angry. I was like, I'm never gonna get this. I see like now, like, I see people getting married and I start crying because not of like, I'm not mad at them, obviously. It's just a little piece of jealousy in me. Like, I'm never going to have that, you know? But now that you mentioned that, it's like, oh, you know, I like everyone's going to say he's going to be there, like, in spirit and all that. But it's like, wait, you are right. Like, at first I was just like, oh, it's just words, you know, they're just comforting me. But like, yeah, he will be there. He will be there. And he will be there the day I give birth. Like, he's never going to meet his grandkids for me. So, like, you know, all those little things, like, just, I like that. Because now it's like, okay, I don't have to be so angry.
Literally your entire thought process and things that, like, how you just, like, went through that. That was literally me a few months ago. And I was just like, what? Like, it gave me perspective. And I think that with grief, perspective is everything. And every, like, one person's perspective is obviously going to differ from another's. Like, we all have different experiences with this. There's no right way. Like we've said over and over, there's no right way to deal with this, right? There's many ways on how to process this. And I think that perspective is everything. And when my uncle shared that with me, I was like, wow. And that just kind of gave me the fire I needed. And, like, literally right after I quit my job, I was like, okay, I didn't know what Grief Sense was going to be, but I knew I was going to have a business called Grief Sense because I've been thinking about this for years. And I was like, it's just going to, I don't know, but it's going to come together. And all I'm thinking about is community, and I want to use art and creativity with it. And then, like, literally almost a year later, I have a podcast now. And I feel that this is one of my grief homes, like I said earlier, but a way that I can create new memories with my loved ones who have passed away, because literally since they died, they are the reason I'm even doing this in the first place. So every time I make a major decision, I'm just like, my people were right there with me when I made that decision, you know, and they were part of that and they will always be part of that. But something I'll share with my father as well. I got a tattoo of him last year. And I knew I always wanted to get a tattoo of my father, but I was like, it's of my dad. Like, he's one of the most important beings in my entire life. Like, I can't just get any tattoo, you know, like, I need to think about this. And that was always my thought process as I got older. I knew I wanted to get a tattoo of him, but literally on a whim for my friend's birthday, I was like, you want to get tattoos? I had no idea what I wanted. Okay. But I was like, we're just going to go with it. And so yeah, I got a minimalist style tattoo of his, of a picture of him holding me as a baby. Oh. And so now every time I travel somewhere, you know, cause our song is I'll Be Missing You with P. Diddy and Faith Evans. One of the lines is there, every step I take, every move I make. Right. So I got him tattooed on my ankle because every step I take, he's with me. And every new place I travel to, I'm like, look, daddy, look at where we are, you know? So that's another way I've been able to kind of make new memories with him. So I'm just excited for you in the sense of, obviously, I know this is literally the most, you know, awful, most traumatic thing you are experiencing right now. And I'm grateful to be part of your journey. But as time goes on, you know, I look forward to see the different ways on how you do make new memories with your father, even if he's not here in the physical form. And yeah, he is always with you. It's just different ways. We have to look for him in different ways, but he's
through
here
our signs.
Nonetheless. Through our signs.
Through our signs. Yes, through our signs. But so, yeah, no, I want to go back to what you talked about, perspective, because yeah, a lot of people are like, you had just lost your dad. How are you? Like, you look like, I mean, obviously you look okay, like, is what they're going to say, because they don't really know what you're feeling inside. But
right,
I think a lot of it, you know, coping with the loss at first is perspective, because, you know, as morbid as it is, it's, we're all going to experience a parent's death, you know. Some get it earlier in their lives, some, you know, the natural way of when you're like really old. And like, for me, I always thought like, oh, I'd have a family already and all that, like, go through all those. But you know, it's life, right? Like, that's just the perspective. It's like, there's nothing, you know, there's only two things they said certain in life is death and taxes, right? Something like that. I don't know the thing, something long, but right. So yeah, perspective definitely helped me a lot with my grief, or as I go through this grief, it's like, well, you know, again, like just being able to move my body and just, you know, it's just like, well, I can stay here and lay all day, but that's not going to bring my dad back. You know, I can sit here and, you know, I do give myself time to cry. I've implemented like 30 minutes. You're going to cry and then you're going to get back up, get your power back, be a bad bee. And,
be a bad bitch. It's okay.
I don't know if I can cuss or not, but like, be that bad bitch that you are.
Yes.
I call myself, my friends gave me the nickname Slayzel, like, 5 years ago when I was going through a traumatic experience.
You better
slay. You can go back and be Slayzel. Like, it's really the perspective definitely helped. It's like, you know, again, as morbid as it sounds, it's like your dad's not going to come back no matter how much you cry, no matter how much you like beg and plead, and you know, it is what it is. But yeah, just again, and like you said, just honoring them is definitely the best way to go through it. Yeah, so took some time to get to meet like where I am right now. Like if you had talked to me 4 months ago, I would completely different. But
yeah,
to get to where I am, even just motivated to go on with my life, like post graduation and start what I want to do with my new career, is just again the just having that perspective that I will be able to honor my dad that way.
Yeah. Well, speaking of new career, what are your thoughts on share with the people? Like, you know, don't hold out on us. Like,
okay.
what you think about?
Like, you've always wanted to start this podcast, right? You always wanted to, you knew you had a deeper, deeper purpose, right? Rather than working your corporate job. I left my corporate job too because I wanted to pursue something. Like, I knew I had, like, as much as I had loved sports, and I still love sports, I knew there was something else I needed to do. And I've always wanted to be like a life coach, as general as that niche is. But I've always wanted to help people. Like I find so much love and like happiness just helping people. Like I think it stems from all like, you know, like I want to be the person that I needed to other people. A couple months off, obviously, like after graduation to like compose myself, heal, obviously, you know, like process. But I want to focus on personal and professional development. I have a certification from my grad school to help with executive coaching.
Look at that.
But yeah. And now my therapist even told me, she's like, you should add grief coaching to it too, because, you know, like they're going to, you know, you're going to need it. And you, so yeah, very excited to do all that. I get so energetic helping people and watching people live their best lives because again, this death is a reminder that life is short and it's never promised, and it's just gotta, you know, don't waste your time not being happy, not being your best self, not taking your power back, you know, just go live because this is all you get, all you have at the end of the day. Like it's just your one life to live and just make it yours however you want it. And so that's
so beautiful. You know, and I am so happy and ecstatic for you, especially with everything that you've gone through this year, and just being willing to be brave and just be like, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to take care of myself along the way, and that's what I'm going to focus on. And like, I just think that's such a beautiful message. And something I wanted to share as well is like, I'm learning, especially as I get older, and because I know more people are going to pass. I guess something that I'm trying to learn right now is that through any stage in my life or any milestone, any hard challenge or moment that I'm going through, I feel like there's a message in each stage that's happening, or at least like I'm just trying to find the message in the mess, if that makes sense. I'm just trying to find like whatever I'm going through at a certain point. I'm like, okay, not why is this happening to me? What is this trying to teach me right now? What can I learn from this? What can I implement from the life toolbox that I've had over the years? Like, what can I do to manage this? And just kind of carry that on throughout my life. And I feel like that's somehow how I've been able to make it through this, but also music and creative expression has been my saving grace for sure. But with that, I would definitely like to kind of tie it to the prompt that you chose for today. And what advice would you give to new grievers? And, you know, kind of think about what are some of the messages that people should look out for? Yeah, what's some advice that you would give to new grievers out there?
I would say first and foremost, I can't take full credit for this because I saw, again, on Instagram, I also follow like hashtag grief journey and hashtag grief. So I saw this video.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm. That said, allow yourself to feel, but always come back. Right. So this person, he shared his story saying that, you know, the worst day of his life was finding out his father passed and he had gone and, you know, he went through all the emotions. He went insane. And he was saying, it's okay to go insane as long as you come back. And basically the moral of that was like, it's okay to lose yourself because you'll come back stronger. Mm. So it's okay to feel feel everything. Even if you don't want to feel angry. Cause I mean, I would say before my dad's passing, I'm not an angry person. I'm very, you know, rainbows and butterflies and sunshine. I'm very, very positive. I don't really get angry. Yeah. Like I just, you know, very little things anger me. Like you would see me full on angry. Like, but when my dad passed, I went through all the emotions, and even though it was new to me, I just let it feel. Like I didn't bottle it in. You just have to let it go out. Like however that is, like if that's yelling into a pillow or screaming or crying, yes, whatever, just feel it. And then, you know, breath work and then come back to yourself. Like, and it's okay. I think a lot of people feel like once they lose somebody or, you know, they suffer a loss, like they have to be strong and get back to life already. Like, no, it's okay to take time for yourself to focus on your healing. And anything you go through, right? It's always so important to take time for yourself, because if you can't show up for yourself, you can't show up for other people. So it's always just, you know, do it. Like whatever you need to do, even if it looks crazy to other people, just do it, because if it helps you, just do it and just feel it. Just let it out. And always know that there are people willing to be there for you, to show up for you when you can't. Cause I've always had trouble to, like, I've always kept everything like that I feel to myself, just because I'm so used to like, oh, I can self-soothe. I'm self-sufficient. Like I'm good. I'm a strong, independent woman. But you know, like at your lowest, it's okay to ask for help. You don't look weak. You don't, you know, nothing. Like nobody's going to judge you. Just feel everything and feel it. And cause then you will come back stronger. And that's how you learn to carry your grief. So just allow yourself to feel. That is I think the advice that I would give anybody. Just allow yourself to feel everything and don't feel ashamed for it. It's okay. Like it is part of life and you're human. So that's my advice.
That was beautiful in a nutshell. Allow yourself to feel, find your grief homes, whether that's creating a podcast, being in community with friends, breath work, going to the gym, moving your body, feeding your body with nourishing foods, right? Just find the grief home that brings you healing and that makes sense to you. So I think that was a perfect way to end the session. And Lizelle, I'm so grateful for you. You don't even know. I am just honored to know you, grateful to be in community with you, grateful to experience your energy and your presence. And I really think that a lot of people are going to resonate with everything you shared, especially if they relate to you and being a new griever themselves. So I just thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your story. Last thing here, just want to definitely make sure people can get plugged in with you, because who knows, you might be their potential life coach. So where can they find you? How do they get tapped in with you on all the socials?
Right now, just follow me on Instagram at Lizelle_D. I'm happy to connect with anyone. I try my best to, you know, reach out to each and everybody that sends me a message, but all my info is on there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. For everyone tuning in, make sure you leave us a rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, because that's how we are able to scale our impact to continue reaching new grievers or serial grievers out there of the Grief Sense community. So definitely leave us a high rating, subscribe on YouTube, like and subscribe, all of the things, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks, Lizelle. See you soon. Grief Sense Familia, that wraps up another episode of the Grief Sense Podcast. If this resonated with you, please feel free to share with someone who will appreciate it and tell a friend to tell a friend. Also, I'm a firm believer that feedback is a gift. So, you know, I'm just saying, I won't be mad if you decide to leave a review and a rating of your experience on the podcast so far. Also, let's help each other find community in grief and let's amplify these stories far and wide. Thank you for tuning in. In solidarity y con mucho amor, Mimi.